Hey, folks, and welcome to Drinking Alone with Friends, a podcast where three friends drink alone together. My name's Chris.
What up? It's Tud.
And I'm Obert. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody.
Is that what this episode is? Cinco de Mayo? Or was it?
It was this weekend. I hope you're all done with your tequila hangovers and you're ready for beer again.
What's your favorite go-to Cinco de Mayo beer?
Dos Equis.
I know this isn't a Mexican beer, but I wanted to say Landshark for some reason.
You know what? Surprisingly, I think that counts. I don't know why.
Because it's the same style. You know, you could put a lime in it. Anything you could put a lime in, I think, counts as a beer that you can have.
Anything Jimmy Buffett would have had on Cinco de Mayo, you can have on Cinco de Mayo.
That's true.
That's the rules of Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
Ted, what is your favorite?
Bud Light.
With a lime in it. Bud Light Lime.
Bud Light Lime. No.
Bud Light Lime.
I mean, I like...
Counts. Count
it. I like Tecate. I think Tecate is a good one. Pacifico is also really good, too. Not really good, but good. Better than Corona. My one issue with... I think Corona would taste good if it didn't taste like a skunk's asshole.
That's kind of... Yeah. Yeah. It would taste great if it wasn't for all the taste, you know? If it wasn't for the taste of the beer, it would be delectable.
If it wasn't for the bad parts of the taste, the good parts would be good.
I'd like to go to, the Corona factory and be like, hey, can I try the beer as it comes off?
Give me...
Of like the bright tank. Yeah. I want to know, does it permanently taste like a skunk's butthole, or is it just because it's in a clear bottle? Because like Heineken has the same problem, except for when you have Heineken out of like their specially designed Heineken like taps that come from Germany, and then Heineken tastes amazing. But other than that, Heineken always kind of tastes skunked.
Right.
So I'm wondering if it has the same flavor to me as Corona. So I'm wondering if it's just a skunked thing.
I don't think I've ever had a Corona on tap. I've never had a draft Corona before.
I don't know
if they make kegs.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they do either. You know what? You know, I also want to say I've said Dos Equis, and I think I've only had Dos Equis like once or like a couple of them, like not one singular beer, but a few of them. Probably, how old am I? 14 years ago, 13 years ago. And I remember it being good. I feel like it won't hold up. Maybe for next Cinco de Mayo, I'll get some Dosette. I missed it this time around.
Maybe we'll give you the whole month of May to have it for next episode as like a face your memory beers.
Face my memories. Yes, I'll try it. Well, actually, I don't even know. I don't see it in the store very often. Is it like a specialty? Like,
no. It's a green can. It has two X's on it. I think that you have, given that we're recording this pre Cinco de Mayo, you have plenty of time to go get some.
Okay. Yeah. We'll definitely report back on this because now I'm curious.
I'd like to change my vote. By the way, Modelo
Corona no. came around.
Bud Light Orange.
Modelo is definitely my favorite Mexican lager.
Bud Light Golden.
As far as beers that hail from Mexico that I've had, Modelo Especial is that's the tits.
See, I don't think I've had a Modelo. I think that's like I feel like Cinco de Mayo is just not my holiday because I'm not a big tequila guy. So like,
or taco guy.
Famously,
you're not as big into tacos.
Do you you live near a Total Wine, right?
Yeah, I within driving distance. Yes.
So you could go get a mixed six of different Mexican lagers.
This is actually a really good idea.
I hate to be a downer here, but
just to let you know.
We did this whole thing last year on Cinco de Mayo where we looked at the list of the best Mexican lagers. We talked about them.
Did we?
Maybe it was 2 years ago, but it might have even been a pregame. I don't know.
But we never told Chris to go get a mixed six.
That's true. This is bringing it to the next level. You're right. This is a positive spin on it is we're elevating our content. This is bringing it to the next level.
Well, and Chris, maybe you could actually get a Corona, the familiar, which is not the Corona Extra. And try like that's like the Coors Light or the Coors Banquet to Coors Light.
Okay, yeah, I would have to get like a list of these, and I don't know if I can do like number one. I don't want to do 6 weeks or 12 weeks in our case of of these beers back to back to back to back. Even though I think I'd be able to dial in the point system pretty easily. but maybe we'll do something fun. Maybe I'll like record a video or something and put it on Patreon or something like that of me
pour all six into one bowl.
Put them on Instagram. We'll do Instagram Live. I'll just get drunk on Instagram Live. They still do that? Is that still a thing?
I think so.
But Threads, maybe. I don't know.
I just sent you a picture of the top 15 Mexican lagers. Landshark's on there, by the way.
There we go.
But this now you have an option of 15.
This is from Jimmy Buffett's own website. So there we go. Dos Equis is on there. Look at me go. Woo, on fire.
I'm excited report back on this.
Yeah, we're gonna have to put together some time. I'm going away this weekend. Maybe I'll be able to sneak by a Total Wine while I'm out there.
I do recommend Modelo. It's delicious. It's by far the best one.
This is how we plan our holiday themed episodes. We do them live on air after the holiday, and then plan on doing it the week after.
Technically, it's not past the holiday while we're recording it. So
it's true. It's true.
You're hearing this after the holiday, but whatever. Oh, man.
Again, you got the whole month of May. See. It's official. May is Mexican Lager Month.
That's it.
No one's going to deny that.
May Cinco for Mexican.
Cinco de Año.
Well, all this talk about Mexican beer sure has got me thirsty for something international.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is it a Mexican beer?
It is not. Oh. It is a Trappist beer, actually.
Ooh, okay.
From Belgium. I was just thinking about how I left in my incredible save of the segue from last week's episode where Ted couldn't come up with one. Yeah. this is, and I might need some help with the pronunciation, Trappist Rochefort 10. It's an authentic Trappist product. They had three different varieties. They had like a 7, a 10, and a triple. And the 10 was in the middle. I don't know what the 10 stands for, but I figured if I'm going to bring one to the show, maybe the middle of the three would be a good one to bring. No information on here other than don't operate heavy machinery or drink while you're pregnant.
Mm.
And that I should drink it between 53 and 57 degrees Fahrenheit. Ted, can you give me a temperature check on this?
Beep, beep. Looks good.
Okay. All right. With that, I'm going to go use my very fancy bottle opener from Ted.
Ooh, he got the good one. So this is, for the listeners, this is their premium one. It's a barley wine, 11.3% ABV. I don't know if he knows that.
It's a quad.
It's what?
Yeah, that's a...
It's a big one.
Yeah, over... Chris and I are doing a little digging on Untappd, and
there is one thing. I think it says on the bottle, and that's 11.3%.
Yep,
should have mentioned that.
We were just talking about that one. Yep.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Untappd gives us a lot more insight into this.
What this thing is. I know this is a hard mode beer for sure.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, it is a quad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's funny.
I was
like,
to say
Wikipedia has it listed as something different, but I don't know. I mean, obviously, go with Untappd.
Right. They're the experts. Yeah. What does Wikipedia know? yeah, but it's a little bottle. It's only 11.2 ounces. So
that's like
it's a lot of ABV.
It's like 122% of alcohol.
Yeah.
Third of a liter.
It's a lot of ABV in a little bottle.
244 episodes can finally upgrade to basically just getting a brown bottle with a number 10 on it and having to go from there.
I love the description on Untappd for this thing. I'll read it to you afterwards.
Wow, it pours a really cool, like reddish caramel color.
I feel like we haven't talked about Trappist beers since our big Trappist episode, like 200 episodes ago.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
They closed the Trappist brewery in Mass.
Podcasts were supporting them, is what I heard.
Spencer's is gone. It's very sad. I like Trappist beers, so yeah, I don't know where all the monks went. They're homeless now.
Training dogs, maybe. This is, I was telling the guys this before the show, but I went to Marcus Foods, went down the beer aisle, looked at all of the juiciest IPAs and the stoutest stouts, all by Montana local beers, and I was like, you know what? Let me swing over to the international cooler. Let me forget what holiday is in a week. And let me pick up a Belgian. So very, how would I describe this head? It's loose, maybe a little sloppy. A lot of bubbles, but a little clingy too.
Yeah.
Some good head. I think I should have left it out of the fridge a little bit longer because, or maybe I'll get more aroma after the head dissipates. Because I'm not picking up a ton, but give me one moment. Yeah, I'm not picking up too much on the nose, but maybe we'll have to explore it with the mouth tastes. So, guys, cheers.
Cheers.
It's beer 30, and I'm thirsty. I've been working like a dog all week long, so maybe something cold won't hurt me. Because it's beer 30, and it's time to party.
Yeah, baby.
Oof, tastes like 11% alcohol. Oh boy, this is strong beer. It came out much darker brown than I thought it was going to.
Oh, you were hiding for sure.
Yeah, this T-Rex, I mean, I think you got a pretty better than average shot for sure. I'm not going to say it's the darkest beer we've ever had, but not dark as midnight, but it's like 11 p.m. on the T-Rex scale. But wow, boozy. I mean, I feel it down my throat, sitting in my stomach, like fiery burn of the booze. A lot of that rich, almost syrupy caramel, malty deliciousness. A lot of golden malt in here for sure. Just very rich. How else would I describe this flavor profile? It's just so strong that it's really hard to get. You know, normally when you talk about Belgian beers, we talk about that ripe banana.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much more of a almost like a barley wine punch than you normally get with a more lighter Belgian style.
So, you know, not to spoil anything, but Wikipedia did say it was a barley wine, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. It's impossible to tell.
Well, there's no way to know for sure, but it feels like a hefty barley wine. And I like it. I think, I don't know if my head will like it tomorrow morning, but I'm going to enjoy this one. I think I'll get more flavors out of it as I slowly sip on it through your other reviews. But I want to hear what Untappd has to say and see if I can agree or disagree with some of the notes that they put in there.
Sure. So I was kind of trying to pay attention to see if you hit any of these, but Untappd reads, "Dominant impressions of latte coffee with powerful chocolate aromas on the nose. The alcohol esters are enveloped in hints of autumn wood, citrus zest, orange and lemon, and freshly baked biscuits. The initial taste is sweetly sinful. Beer and chocolate trapped into one single glass, a liquid malty draft with a backbone of bitter malt. The alcohol warms the throat, and in the finish, you will pick up traces of cloves, citrus, orange, and mocha. The heaviest of the Roquefort beers, the 10 is a quadruple style of beer and can be recognized by its blue label."
Interesting. Some things I wanted to pick up on there. What do you say? Sinfully sweet malt?
Yep.
I like that description. I thought that was good. Biscuity, definitely could see that as a solid finish. It does have that bready quality that sometimes you associate with Belgians. The mocha chocolate, they said powerful chocolate aroma or latte coffee. Maybe it's just too cold because I'm not really getting a lot of that. The orange clove, a little bit. I guess I would say it's almost like when I think orange and clove, I think of like a potpourri smell, right? And it's just generic spice. You know, it's kind of like tastes like those kind of autumnal spices. A little. Yeah, I get some of that. It is funny that I wanted to pick the middle of the road one out and I picked the end of the line instead.
Yeah, you failed.
Did the big in.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I think it's a good showing from this brewery. It reminds me of almost like a Dunkelweiss, where it has that same richness of that just like a malt, just drinking a sandwich of malt, you know?
So I will say that maybe, I mean, it's possible that Wikipedia is also right. Apparently and I don't know how we never talked about this before, the barley wine style is an American invention. And it was invented by Anchor Brewing Company. So it's possible that, you know, we just being the U.S. renamed a quad into a barley wine, and we
tweaked it a little bit. Yeah,
same thing, different brewing process, different names. So it's kind of like, you know, whiskey with, you know, bourbon's different than scotch, but they're both still whiskeys.
Right.
Fair. Oh, yeah, that's good.
I think that's a very good analogy, yeah. Todd. And listeners, next time you're at a party, you can bust out the fact that barley wines and quads are basically the same thing. And one, don't bother fact checking that. And two, when they ask where you heard that, you can send them right to this podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah. tough one to grade on Untappd. Let me just start with my rating. I think, if I'm being honest with myself, this is not one I'm going to reach for that often on the shelf, if possibly ever again. Like, I think I'm okay not having had this beer. Barley wines are tough. They're tough to rate. Got to rate them on the scale that they're at.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. The first ever barley wine was from Bass Number One Ale in England. So it's from England. So the quad and the barley wine are similar. The first in okay. the U.S. was done by Anchor Steam called Old Foghorn.
Interesting. I think it's got to be 3.5. I want to give it 3.75, but I got to maintain my cred as the strictest of the raiders of the pod. So.
Oh, wait. I thought that was me. I think we're both confused.
Sometimes I feel like I give everything a 3.75. So this is not quite as good as some of those 3.75s. Still delicious, but not the beer that made me fall in love with beers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not a beer drinker because I have this beer all the time.
Right. I know Tud has it up, but I just want to say this is the most check-ins I think we've ever had on a podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say this has a metric shit ton of check-ins. This is definitely the most check-ins Obert's ever had on a beer on this podcast.
I've had
sure.
Guinness. Maybe not. I think Guinness is the most checked-in Untappd beer.
Chris, go look up Guinness.
I'm fact-checking.
Well, so meanwhile, how many does this have?
248,000. 124.
Okay, no, Guinness is more than that. Guinness is 856,000.
Okay,
but so,
close
still
for it. Yeah, it's intense.
That's
up there.
That's high. That's a lot. That's a lot.
We have done Bud Light on this podcast before too. I'm sure Bud Light has a lot of check-ins.
Yeah, that was a fun one when we did the Bud Light blind taste test. I think it was more fun to execute than to listen to, but I had a lot of fun doing that, recording that.
I had a lot of fun doing it twice and nailing it both times. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Mess of an episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. This many check-ins. It's basically going to be like, if you took every single check-in on Untappd and averaged them out, what would you get? I think it's not far from the average of this beer. I think it's going to get a little bit of a bonus because it's so high ABV. People think that means they need to rate it higher. So I'll say 3.80.
Not even really close.
Interesting.
It's over.
Which way
a four.
Am I off?
It's over a four.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. Not expecting that.
4.06.
Montana area code.
You should have guessed it.
The 406. Yeah. Well, I'm technically on the board.
Technically, yes. That is crazy. But like, that's a lot of check-ins for a very high
over
score
a four.
For yeah. a quad/barley wine. You know, like,
I will say that apparently I've checked this in. I gave it a 3.25.
The year was.
It's a good question. I checked it in 2017.
Okay.
God damn, 7 years ago. Holy shit.
Out of all of our, I have 6 Untappd friends who have checked it in. The average of my 6 Untappd friends is 4.18, so higher than the average.
Wow.
Chris, you've never checked it in. Our friend Ben gave it a 2.75. Dustin gave it a 5.
So we're all over the board here.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
It is well, interesting because, like, generally, I think a lot of everybody knows that I generally enjoy barley wines. And I generally dislike Belgian beers, so I'm wondering where this is going to fall.
The quad is the magic. Yeah,
yeah. Maybe that's the ticket. Who knows?
So next episode, it's Mexican beers. And then episode after that, it's oops, all quads. And guys, we're getting close to 250.
I know. Holy crap!
Start looking for your oldest beer.
I gotta go find it.
Start aging it. Start drinking all the oldest beers that you don't want to be your oldest beer when it's
time for
250. You can only work your way forwards, I guess. But
I'll go back to 200 and like remember, because I know I have duplicates and I don't want to do a duplicate for 200 for 250.
Right. Although it'd be interesting to see 50 episodes later if it tastes different.
Very true,
Chris. I don't know about you, but I have beer that's older than your oldest kid.
I think I do too. I think I do as well. I think I have some from 2000. I want to say like 2016. So
I think I have a Julius in my upstairs closet.
Oh,
that, like,
no.
Like, I may have to go like look at the date and like pour it out because I don't want to have to drink it on the episode of the podcast.
No, now you're not going to be able to find it and it's going to be hiding.
I would love to go back in time to Treehouse, the day that Tud bought that beer, and he like waited in line for hours, and to be like, just so you know, 6 years from now, you are gonna pour this beer down the drain.
I'm pretty sure I bought it actually the day CJ was born. So it might be canned the day before CJ was born.
Nice.
So you gotta save it till he's 21. I think that's how it works. Oh. Yeah, I think that's. Yeah. The rules.
I'm going to give it to Chris next time he's in town and say, hey, you have to keep this for, you know.
It won't be that long. Only a couple months. I'll be up. But.
Oh, right. I thought yeah, you were going to say
that
he was.
For your oldest son's 21st and last birthday.
Julius poisoning. All right. Well, all of this Obert drinking is making me thirsty.
Happens to the best of us. Definitely getting more flavor as this warms up.
Do you get latte?
I don't get latte. No, the coffee thing, I don't quite get. Maybe it's just because there's so many beers that when they say, you know, that are like brewed with coffee or like really strong.
Yeah, this is not,
you know,
this
black
is just,
malts that are
this
coffee.
Is just brewed like this.
Yeah.
You say we're so spoiled with like actual coffee in our beers that when a beer tries to imitate coffee, we're like, that's not coffee.
Yeah. That it's might also, be. Yeah.
Does it smell like Folgers?
No, nothing at all like coffee, really.
But you also drink Folgers, don't you?
No, I drink good coffee.
Okay.
Call up the monks, tell them they need to try more coffees.
If I was ever going to you know, become a monk, I think I would definitely go become a Trappist monk. Like, I wouldn't want to become like a Buddhist monk and like sit there and like
I would
meditate
think that
all day.
That would be about 80% of the reason why you would become a monk in the first place is for the beer.
Yeah. Well, if you have to become a Trappist. I don't know what they believe. Like, they may believe that, like, the world is flat and, like, whatever, but, like...
Wow. That kind of aligns with your worldview.
I mean, I do believe the world's a circle.
Two dimensions? Three dimensions? Six dimensions?
Well, I mean, there could be infinite dimensions. You just don't know they exist.
It's true.
So, the Trappists are the order of the Cistercians of strict observance. Our Catholic religious order of cloistered monastics that branched off from the Cistercians. They follow the rule of Saint Benedict and have communities of both monks and nuns and are known as Trappist and Trappensteins, respectively.
I wonder if the nuns can brew good beer. Has anybody ever tried to have the nuns brew beer? Maybe they're really good at it.
They're from, the originally are from the province of Normandy in France. Oh, if you became a Trappist monk, you can't have flesh meats. Nothing from four-footed animals.
Not people, though.
Well, they can consume poultry, fish, and seafood. And yeah, my first thought was, I guess they could be cannibals.
All right, so I had to dig deep into the beer fridge for this one, because this one actually is courtesy of Obert. Obert sent me this beer, so I'm very excited to try it. And this is from Fremont and Weldworks, but it's their 2424 Hazy Double IPA. You got this very cool-looking cat on the front.
Steampunk.
Steampunk cat on the front. There you go. But I'm pretty excited because this is, you know, I don't know. It's not quite the last of my Obert beers, but I didn't really want to open up Ivan the Terrible right now. So
yeah, a little late in the day. Yeah,
a little late for that. So I'm just hoping it's not like frozen because it was in there and that thing gets some cold. So but excited. You know, we have hazy IPAs all the time, but not often from the other side of the world. So see how it bores.
Got a total international episode. I got Belgium. You got Seattle.
Feel like
who knows what Ted's going to bring.
Feel like I have to step my game up. I'm going to try to leave the Northeast if possible.
All right. No freezies. So we're good. No slushy going on. Just for curiosity's sake, this is packaged on 2/28/24. So only a few, like 2 months old. So, and it's been ice cold. So almost ice cold, I should say.
It really locks the flavor molecules in the hazy IPAs
exactly.
In there.
Ooh, it smells really good. It's definitely got some citrusy smells, not tropical smells. Definitely some citrusy smells. Got a decent little, you know, quarter inch, half inch head on there. That's kind of sticking around. Beautiful looking beer, honestly, if I'm being completely honest with you. Just beautiful looking beer. I feel like the T-Rex is going to have a moderately hard time finding you. Oh yeah, it lights up like a light bulb. So honestly, you might have some luck. You got to be careful. Just gets really bright. But yeah, try a hazy IPA from the other side of the world. I know I've had Fremont before. I don't know if I've ever had Weldworks. That might be new-ish to me, but
I'm not sure. I think Weldworks is also Seattle. It might be Portland.
Okay. I've definitely heard of them.
I think it's Seattle.
I've heard of them, but I just don't think I've had them. So, anyways, 8% alcohol. So let's dive into it. Let's see if.
Oh, I was way off. Greeley, Colorado.
Oh wow. Okay.
And they also spell their name, their company name, stupidly.
Yeah, they instead of a G, it's a J.
No. I'm talking Weldworks. Works is not spelled with an E. People.
I don't have anything for it. I was like, maybe there is a work like. Maybe when you're welding, that's what they call a work of welding. Who knows?
It's twerk with a silent T.
All right, here we go. Let's see how this thing is. 24-24. Jeff Gordon's like numbers. Beer.
It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
I will say works with an E is German or Dutch for the word work. Today I learned.
So now you definitely have to bring some kind of a European beer on.
I don't know if I have any. This is the issue with having not bought beer for a while. I'm going to be lucky if I get out of the Northeast. I'm going to try.
So this is pretty good. I'm going to say I'm glad I'm drinking it now. I don't think I would want to let it sit much longer, but even near ice cold. It's good though. It kind of hits you with a nice little punch up front, like a bitterness punch up front, and then it definitely sweetens out with like some orange on the back end, which is citrusy.
There we go. But he's getting it.
I'm getting there, guys. You know, even though I think of oranges in like Florida, which is like tropical climates, you know, you can see how it could be confusing. Okay, that's all I'm saying. You know, definitely. Yeah, definitely hits you on the front. It's getting a little better since my mouth is getting acclimated to it, but slight bitterness up front hits you with some of that citrusy, orangey goodness, and then like a nice sweet aftertaste. So I enjoy it. It's pretty good, and it's very cold, as I've mentioned, very cold. So nice and refreshing, considering my room right now is 85 degrees. So. it's really, really good. I can't really pull out. If I had to guess, I'd say Citra hops in it or in some way, shape, or form. Because I know I get that a lot of times. I always think of like orangey sweetness. I always like kind of tie to the no Citra hops, huh?
No.
What do we got in it? I'm curious.
I want you to take another shot.
Vic Secret. I don't know.
So we got Cascade, Simcoe, El Dorado, Idaho 7, T90 hops.
I would have maybe eventually guessed Simcoe. I don't think.
or Cascade.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Cascade to begin with. Yeah.
That's the bittering hop, then though.
El Dorado, and then Idaho 7, T90. It's interesting. Yeah, they actually kind of almost, they give you the recipe on Untappd, which is interesting. Hmm. The whole thing.
Well, I stand corrected then. I mean, it's really good. I mean, it's a solid hazy IPA. We've said it once. We'll say it a million times. I don't know how many of these you can really review, have them be like super different. Considering the hazy IPA is just a knockoff New England IPA. No one wants to say it.
Well, I this was my reaction to this beer, and I didn't want to sway your review before you gave it, but this is, I want to know what you think about this.
Yeah.
This was like if Seattle tried to make a, like New Haven style pizza. Like, sure, you can do it, but it's never going to be
the same.
Like the same as if it was from New England. Right?
I can get behind that. Like, I mean, obviously, yeah. we're all biased to New England beers. If you haven't picked that up after 240 episodes, I don't know what to tell you. Like, honestly,
what podcast are you listening to? Yeah,
we like New England beers.
Shock!
No shit.
And there are some people that outside of New England that can do a really good one. This is a good one. It's not a really good one. It's a good one. I think that's a really good analogy as well. You know, Connecticut also happens to have the best pizza. So like having pizza outside of Connecticut, you're like, I mean, it's fine. It's pizza, but it's good. It's pizza, but.
But it's also like someone trying to do a Connecticut style pizza, not in Connecticut.
True.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. New Haven spread the wealth. It's Connecticut style now.
I mean,
calling it now.
I guess pizza is the exact thing. Like New England in general, I guess if you loop New York City in, has the best pizza.
I think there's some places in Jersey that are really, really good too. But anyways.
It's going to piss off a lot of Chicagoans when I say that, but.
The country of Italy is going to fight you, Ted.
Deep dish pizza is not a pizza. It's a casserole.
Well, I don't know if you ever noticed, but like, I guess like Chicago also has like a thin style pizza. So like when you go to Chicago, they're like, go to this place. It's the best pizza, but it's like not deep dish or something.
I didn't know that. That's new.
Yeah. When I was going through my Dave Portnoy pizza review phase, I think I learned that. So
interesting.
But I will say, if I ever do go to Chicago, I'm going to a deep dish spot. I'm not going to this. I don't want thin pizza if I go to Chicago.
You have to eat it with a fork and a knife, though. I will pre-warn you. It is a casserole.
A crust. In my mouth and belly. That's what I want.
I guess casserole's but it's a pie. I mean, it's legitimately like a pie.
It's a pizza
like,
pie. That's why they call it pizza pie.
I will say that Detroit pizza, I think, is better than Chicago pizza. And I'll fight anybody on that. Detroit pizza's incredible.
I think Obert's made like homemade Detroit pizza. So Montana pizza.
We've talked about it on the pod before. I'm a big Detroit guy.
So it's much better than Chicago.
Well,
it's what Chicago pizza wished it was.
What would be our pizza podcast? Because that's what we need. That's what we need to table this for. We'll think about it.
120 degrees. Three friends share a pizza. cut this one in thirds. A pizza review podcast. we eat three giant slices of a pie.
There we go.
Now I want pizza.
Go subscribe to that podcast. But for 2424 hazy double IPA, good hazy IPA. I mean, I enjoy it. It's hard for me not, you know, even though I'm the hard ass of the pod, et cetera, et cetera. It's hard for
famously.
Like, I feel like this kind of beer is never, unless they really botch it, I don't think I'll ever go super low on these. But I'll give this a 4. I'll give this a solid 4. It's good. I would definitely drink it again, or I would drink other things from these two breweries if put in front of my face. It's the nice bitter sweet ride I want from my IPAs. So
okay, so I have it here on Untappd. 1,027 check-ins.
Okay. I know a little bit about Fremont, obviously. And I know the only thing I know about Weldworks is they spell works in German. That's the only thing I really know. I think they'll be right around where I'm at, honestly. I think it'll be just above a 4. I'm going to go 4.09.
Could have gone with the 4.06. You had it. It was right there.
I almost did.
No, but it's not. Oh. It's much lower than that.
Oh, shit. God damn it. Why did you have to do that to me? Golly.
I'm sorry, but it's a 3.86.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that was fucking great. That was awesome.
I think
I'm on the board.
Yeah, so you're still on the board with a 0.23 off.
Oh, my God.
But leaving this door wide open.
Swings and misses all over the place. Holy shit. Yeah. Wow. 3.86.
Before we move off of this beer, the reason I picked this beer up and sent it to you is because you are such a big Jeff Gordon fan.
Mm.
I see a beer called 2424. Yeah. There's no way I'm not going to buy it.
I mean, it was very fitting, yeah.
I was going to say I don't recognize this can, but it's because I got the Dark Star in my box.
You didn't get one too?
I might have one in my fridge. Yeah, I think I did get one.
Oh, I wonder what I got that you didn't get then. Because I did not get a 2424. I did not see that.
Maybe I'm Obert's best friend.
I got the pressing diamonds one.
No pressure, no diamonds.
I got that one. Yeah. I drank that one a minute ago. I don't know. No, did you get Ivan? Did you get Ivan?
I got Ivan.
You got the barrel aged Dark Star that Chris did not.
So I got a Dark Star and a barrel aged Dark Star.
Right. That's what it is. Okay, yep, that makes sense.
Suck it, Chris.
I mean, it's fine. I'm enjoying the beer right now, so it's fine. Thank you, Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon squared.
I can't.
It's the best. Everybody knows the best beers in life are free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't drink mine yet because I haven't brewed the Dark Star clone yet, and I can't brew the Dark Star clone yet because my brew store closed temporarily or permanently. I don't know. So I'm kind of screwed at the moment.
At this rate, in 6 years on episode 550, you're the oldest beer in the fridge is going to have to be the Dark Star.
Right.
Still I'm going to have to take a trip to Zox before Zox closes too. But the issue is that now it's May and ain't nobody going to brew a stout in the middle of summer.
You have to be an insane person or Chris to do that.
It's true. All right.
All right. Well, what do you got for us this week, Todd?
Keeping with the theme of the episode, I ventured to find a beer that was not from the Northeast. I think I succeeded. In fact, I think I found a beer that Obert sent me.
Oh, now I'm the one who's not following the
theme. Well, you bought your
beers. I guess
beers.
The theme is Obert bought all three of these beers. This podcast brought to you in part by Obert and listeners like you.
Exactly. I can't promise that this is going to be a good beer. I believe Obert sent this to me probably pre-COVID.
Oh boy!
So we're going with a little face your beers.
I think my whole thing about drinking up your oldest beer so you can have a good oldest one is getting to Todd.
Oh boy!
So Obert, you're gonna have to correct me as to when you sent this. I don't see a date on the can. I'm gonna show you the can first, and just to see, get your reaction.
Oh. Ooh,
wow, that's old. And it's a sour.
It's a sour. It's been in the fridge the entire time.
Wow, I don't know. I don't even, like, I don't know if that brewery's still in business anymore.
So, just for the listeners, this is a Super Squishy by Oliphant Brewing. It's a blackberry, raspberry, and coconut sour. This baby weighs in at 5% ABV. It was brewed by Oliphant Brewing Company out of Somerset, Wisconsin. That's WI, right? It's Wisconsin.
So this is a beer I brought from Wisconsin when I drove across the country during COVID to your house. So that's what it was. So this was October 2020. I stopped in Wisconsin at a bottle shop, bought a bunch of beer, and brought it to you.
Well, here we are. 4 years in the making. I just hope it doesn't explode.
Yeah, I would open this one in like a Ziploc or something.
I'm going to take a few tissues. I'm going to put it over the top.
Maybe on your chair. You have a few backups, I know.
No, not anymore. I only kept one chair. The chair I'm sitting in did not explode. All right. It smells good.
Hasn't curdled.
Not yet. Nothing chunky's falling out. All right. So, kind of a cool, interesting can. It's kind of got an eyeball. That says Super Squishy. Some guy's face on a beer tap. I'm assuming that's Oliphant himself. I don't know who Oliphant is, but
Mr. Oliphant.
Mr. Oliphant is on the can. Says I should have rolled it for 30 seconds before pouring it into a glass, which I did.
I rolled it when I bought it, so you should be fine.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Yeah, it's a sour ale brewed with blackberries, raspberries, lactose, vanilla, coconut, and sea salt.
Ooh.
Interesting. Oh, there's a little chunk floating in it. Good. That's what I want in my beers. Want to be able to chew them. You are definitely hiding from a T-Rex in this thing. It does actually look like a very nice pink when the light is behind it.
Hibiscus tea is what it looks like.
Yeah, kind of. It's definitely from the raspberries and the blackberries. On the nose, it smells like raspberries and coconut. I'm actually kind of excited for this beer. It actually smells really good. Probably should have had it fresh 4 years ago. However... Let's go in and try it. I can already tell it's going to be sour. My mouth is like watering smelling it. So I'll let you know in about 30 seconds. And I'm drinking well, you know that you're my friend, and I'll say, I think I'll have myself a beer. Definitely more fruity than sour. You get a lot of blackberry and raspberry on the flavor. A ton. I don't get any coconut. Maybe a very hint at the end, but it's more vanilla than coconut. I don't taste any coconut. I wonder if the flavor kind of evaporated over time.
Or maybe it needs to warm up.
Potentially. I will say it was on the door of my beer fridge, so that's not the warmest, or that's not the coldest spot in my beer fridge.
Mm.
It's lived on the door of my beer fridge, the very top shelf of the door, so it's always constantly exposed to a little bit of air. On the lingering mouth flavor after... You know, not sipping it for a few seconds. I do taste like a little like salty residue from the sea salt, which is pretty cool. Definitely adds to the overall mouth texture of the beer.
Mm.
Yeah, that's not a lot of coconut. Hang on, let me tell you the temperature. It's at 53 degrees.
Oh, much warmer than I was guessing.
Yeah.
Maybe I just had the image of Chris's near ice crystals stuck in my brain.
Yeah, no. You know, my beer fridge is not as... haphazardly cold as Chris's. Yeah, 50, 52.3 when I pointed at it now, so it's in the 50s. So I think if I was going to get coconut flavor, it'd be here.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I kind of wish now I would have tried this fresh because it probably would have been really, really good. But overall, still a solid beer from Mr. Oliphant and his squishy eyeball.
And it was 4 years ago, but from what I remember, like I went into this place and I asked, you know, what were some of the local hype beers? And this was one that everybody was like very popular in the area. So this had, I think this, not to give too much on Tapped Away, but I think this one had some fruit hype for sure. Mm.
Well, I can tell, and for good reason. I mean, this is up there with like the same styles as like Skygazer, Transcend, like those like types of fruited sours. Really good. It's not as thick. Even with the lactose that they included in on this one, I think a Skygazer or a Transcend's a little bit thicker. And I actually kind of prefer this thickness to the other thicknesses of beer. This one's just...
You don't have to chew it.
Yeah, it's... I know that I'm not going to feel weighted down after finishing this, which is good. Because lactose, when done properly, is good in beer. Those Transcend beers, sometimes you can't drink them because you're like, I can't fit any more shit in my stomach.
I need a couple of kombuchas to reset in here.
Yeah. But no, this is good. I'm going to give this, even now, 4 years later, I'm leaning 4.25. It's wow. Really good.
Wow. Okay.
Next time I drive to Connecticut, I'm going to have to stop and pick you up some more.
Right.
Yeah, you could bring me a whole six pack of this. I'll drink the whole thing. I should have said it does come in a 12-ounce can, so I'm sure it comes in a six pack. Hopefully. But yeah, this is good. If we have any listeners from Somerset, Wisconsin, you let me know.
My sister lives in Wisconsin. Maybe I'll have to... I don't know where that is in relation to her, but...
It's in the same state, so that's a win.
Yeah. Every state is like... Once you're in the state, it's basically no time to get wherever.
They're all Connecticut size, yeah. Right?
It's better than being in Montana like Oberd.
I guess that's true. Well, what do you think 4,481 other people thought of this beer. A lot of check-ins.
That's surprising. I don't know where Somerset, Wisconsin is, but for them to have 4,000 people that tried this beer.
And fun fact, you will be the third of three members of this podcast to check this in. We both have checked it in before.
Interesting. Well, Obert did say it did have some fruit hype to it. So I think it's going to be over a 4, which is good. Given what I know of it now, that I think it's a 4.25, I think it's going to be closer to me. But I think it's going to be slightly lower, because maybe I'm just a fan of the style. So I'm going to go 4.417.
I think I win.
Really?
It is lower than that. Still respectable, but a 3.92.
Wow.
So point...
Untapped is wrong.
Yeah, I think Untapped has been wrong all night. What happened? Our calibrations are off.
That's weird.
Right?
4 or 3.92.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. Because I even looked, because I was wondering, I was like, super squishy. When you mentioned that it was like blackberry and all that jazz, I figured there was...
Don't forget the coconut.
Yeah. I figured there was going to be variance, but no, it's just super squishy. There's no variance on Untappd. Unless Obert can verify and tell me otherwise. But
no, yeah. But I was wondering why you rated it a 3.5, and now I know. It's the coconut.
Yeah, I must have gotten more coconut than you guys did. But that's still actually pretty good for me if I got coconut out of it. So, like, you know.
It's true.
Yeah. So.
Well, damn. That's upsetting.
You were saying it's close to you, and I was like, oh, please, 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 please. And you almost ruined my party. At least I think I was 0.23, right? Like, I was
0.24.
I was 0.25.
Oh, and I was 0.26.
Oh, man. We were all a quarter of a point off. Holy crap.
See, I think Untappd was off. I don't think we were off.
Yeah, guys. Untappd, we were right Untappd on. Must have recalibrated. Maybe, or something.
I think there's an update that hasn't pushed to our phones yet.
Maybe.
I think that's probably what
that's
it is.
That's probably what it is.
We got the old version. Where the averages are all just a quarter point lower than we thought.
I mean, it hasn't been...
Well, mine was a quarter point higher, actually. I was off the other way.
That's true. I still think that it's Untappd's fault. It's not our fault.
I do like the fact that when I log into Untappd right now, Obert's checked in 2024. I just checked in super squishy. I checked in the pregame beer. So if you guys want to hear my drink on the pregame, go over to patreon.com for as little as $1 a month. You can get extra episodes of Trickling with Friends, so go check that out. The one person who hasn't checked anything in is Chris.
He's just so dedicated to podcasting that he's going to wait.
Oh, today? Oh, no, I haven't checked anything yet today, no.
Yeah, see, I think you need to get on. I think if we start pressuring you to do things live on the mic, you'll do them.
Hashtag.
Well, he's going to have plenty of time.
Chris, let's get on this.
Well, plenty of time to check it in while we come up with some adjectives, nouns, and adverbs on this week's installment of Beer Libs.
Yeah.
Game we play Mad Libs. You can do it at home yourself. Just pause after every time Chris gives us an instruction to come up with your own words. And then you could play the loneliest game with us.
So, yeah, we're bringing...
I don't have a theme song for this one, so...
We need to get one.
Jeopardy it is.
Jeopardy. Not very noteworthy.
Oh, glad we got the extended version.
Good. This is Final Jeopardy. All right, so, we're bringing back Mr. Oscar award-winning bit, Beer Libs. So, you guys told us you're clamoring for more, so here we are, right? Today's Beer Lib, the name is Perfect Pairings. So, Tud, Obert, I don't know how you guys want to do this, but give me an adjective.
Tud, I will let you go first as the winner of the Frosty Mug, Man of the People this week.
I mean, it was me technically, but second place.
Oh, sorry. I'm going first because Tud did not win.
It's good because I was trying to wonder what an adjective was, so you can go ahead.
Loud. That's an adjective, right?
All right. Give me an adverb.
Fastly.
Does that count?
quickly counts.
No, I'm going fast. I said fastly. That's what we're going with.
Write it down.
We'll get to the part of the show that I edit out. Is that an adjective? 15 times.
A verb.
So ending, I don't go to school anymore.
Verb ending in ing.
Swimming.
Type of liquid.
Molasses.
How do you spell that? Adjective.
Thick. Four C's.
Type of food. Plural.
Clementines.
Animal.
German Shepherd.
Okay. Ooh. Adjective.
Soft.
Color.
Purple.
Country.
Czechoslovakia.
Part of the body.
Nose.
Could have said penis.
Number.
69.
Of course. I would have been upset if you said anything else. Verb.
Joke.
Animal.
Animal the Muppet.
I don't think that counts. I think I need an actual animal.
Kermit the Frog?
There we go.
No. Animal the Muppet. His name is Animal. He's an animal. Animal the Muppet.
True. If Kermit is an animal, I guess Animal's an animal.
Type of
the best Muppet, by the way.
Type of food.
Pick something really hard to spell.
I mean, no one's going to see it but me, so as long as I get close.
I don't know if this is a good one. I don't know if this works, but whatever fits in the top of the pyramid, of the food pyramid. The top of the food pyramid. Does that work, or should I come up with a different one?
Listen, if you're going to make me read Animal the Muppet, then I'm going to write that down. It's fine. It'll work.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
Verb.
Snoring.
Type of food.
Spaghetti.
Exclamation.
Arriba.
You got to roll your R's, though, when you say Arriba. It back. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's the end. That was a bit. I feel like that was a lot of them. But anyways, here we go.
It's a lot of food.
Perfect.
It is about pairing.
Perfect pairings. Some folks chug their beer with loud bar snacks, but beer pairs fastly with fine cuisine too. Try swimming a crisp pale ale instead of molasses during cocktail hour. Oysters on the thick four C's shell clementines wrapped in bacon, and even German Shepherd liver pate pair well with this type of brew. A soft Hefeweizen is perfectly matched with a fresh purple salad. And if you serve onion soup from Czechoslovakia, a brown ale will put a smile on your nose. For the main course, there are no less than 69 choices of beer pairings. A savory Saison will joke with your chicken a la king. Animal the Muppet Confit calls for a rich Belgian triple. In the chilly months, a hearty top of the pyramid stew. and a porter are the perfect pair. And don't forget dessert, chocolate souffle, and a double ale of snoring together delightfully. But a fruity lambic with your spaghetti tart is sure to leave your guests cheering, Arriba! And there you go.
Well done.
Perfect pairing. Yes.
That I poor can see German why Shepherd.
It's a Mr. Oscar Award winner.
Although I am looking forward to Animal the Muppet Confit. That sounds delicious.
Yes. Also sound pretty good. Yeah. So with that, it's time to head over to the Frosty Mug of Wisdom. Wisdomy Wisdom, Jordan, take it away.
Test your handle. Test your handle. Test your handle. Test your handle.
Mug of Wisdom!
Drink.
Mug of Wisdom!
All right. Thank you, as always, to Jordan, occasional guest, found nowhere else, exclusive to this podcast.
Hopefully, a soon-to-be guest again, too. We'd like to have him back on. We'll see. Jordan, if you hear the sound of my voice, come back on.
Have your people talk to our people.
Yeah.
Tud? Honk. That's all you're getting this week.
I'm not the champ. I don't know why you keep
doing
this.
Me.
I don't. It's
I'm on a,
so many people did so bad this week.
I'm on a winning streak.
Chris Honk. That's all you
Hooray.
Get. That's the most enthusiasm, the most honks. I got to put your point on the board here. 39.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we were just bad. I mean, should we really? Should any of us get points?
I think.
You know,
I should get 2 points because of how I'm only 6 behind Tud. We're getting there. I'm on a hot streak, guys. Hot Chris summer coming up.
Chris, as the winner this week, the mug, fresh out of the freezer, who's filling it first?
I'll let Obert fill it first.
Okay.
I should take Tud's handle.
You have the power. You have the mug.
I do have the power.
No, my handle this week is a yet another roguelike deck building game. I was playing Slay the Spire for a long time. This new one is called Balatro, or Balatro. Depends on how fancy you are.
So you didn't like this game. You told me that it wasn't worth it.
So the premise of the game is, it's unlike most other deck builder games, this one's based on a deck of playing cards. You start with 52 cards, you know, ace through king or two through ace, depending on how you count them. And it's basically like a game of video poker where... you know, you have a certain number of draws and a certain number of discards to make the best poker hands that you can. But as you play, you need to score more and more points, and you unlock abilities to, you know, modify your deck. You use tarot cards to, you know, change ranks and suits and duplicate cards and that kind of thing. And you also get to unlock jokers, and the jokers are fun. Like, you know, they're just like crazy different powers and abilities you get, where some of them is like, oh, this one is like a 10-4 joker, where it's it looks like a radio, and every 10 and 4 that you play is doubled. And this one's called Shortcut, and it lets you make straights skipping a number. So you could go like 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, or something like that. And so you use these jokers, and you use these tarot cards to modify your deck, keep playing, and get higher and higher scores. And as Ted mentioned, my first reaction was like, well, I feel like the more I play it, the more I just end up playing flushes all the time. But then I realized, as I kept playing it beyond that point, that the flush strategy seems great at the beginning, but then you quickly realize that that's like kind of like a, you know, the meme, the bell curve meme, where like the guy in the middle is like, no, you have to do flushes or whatever. And then the smart guy at the end and the dumb guy at the end have the same opinion, which is like, you got to play five of a kind. I realized that I was like, oh, this is just kind of like the sophomoric approach. So now that I've kept playing it, now that I'm enjoying it more, I do think there's a little bit more depth of strategy there. It's not the deepest roguelike game I've ever played, to your point, Tud, but I have, hang on, I'll tell you how many hours.
I have purposely not bought this game because you told me.
I have over 40 hours into the game, and I don't know how much it was, $20? It's probably less.
$14.99.
Yeah, so... I like it because I like roguelike deck builders. So check it out. Link in the show notes.
I will have to pick this up before my next trip.
You won't be disappointed.
Sorry, Stardew. I guess you're taking a backseat to Balatro.
All right. So, Frosty Mug. I will actually... I'll take it because I actually do have one that I'm excited about, but I don't think it's overly exciting. I don't think it's bad, just not overly exciting. So I want Todd to wrap it up with a banger.
Well, before you start, I've got a joke for you.
Okay.
To maybe make it more exciting. What's made of leather and sounds like a sneeze?
A shoe.
Exactly.
Yeah. But tis.
Got him.
Only we had a drop for that.
We don't. Only. Yeah, we don't have that. We don't have that. So I know the co-hosts know, and maybe some people if you've hung around, but I got back into my workout regimens, right? So and part of that includes, you know, protein shakes, all that fun stuff. I know Ted and I talked about protein coffee a couple weeks ago. So this is actually a new flavor of protein. Now, I always get Optimum Nutrition, gold standard whey. I've been taking it for a bajillion years, basically forever. It's fucking expensive, though. That's making a weird face. You
don't, yeah, I don't like that. That's like my least favorite protein.
Really?
Powder. Oh, huh. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, maybe this will change your mind because they recently came out with a cinnamon roll flavor, and I only had it. So normally I get like chocolate or something like that, something basic, right? Like I don't normally fluff around, but for Prime Day a couple of weeks ago, it was like a 2 pound tub for like 20 something bucks, which is dirt cheap for Optimum for this stuff. So I was like, well, I'll try it out, new flavor. I still had a 5 pound container I was working my way through. So I think it was the beginning of this week or the end of last week, whatever it was. I finally started the cinnamon roll container, and let me just tell you, it's wonderful. I'm in love with it. It's so good. It makes me sad because right now it's $40 on Amazon for a two pound tub. So I'll likely go without it until they make 5 pounds of it. But it is so good. It tastes like a it is sweet. So like, you know, fair warning there, but it tastes like a freaking Cinnabon cinnamon roll in your drink. And I just mix it with water. So I'm sure it could be even better if you use like a milk or something like that. So, I just wanted to share that because that is something that has brought some highlights to my, I look forward to drinking my protein shake in the morning. Cause I'm like, it tastes delicious. So if you're on the fence or if you're looking for something new, I would give it a shot. It says limited time only. It makes me sad, but I love it right now. So anyways.
So your strategy is to get enough people to buy it that they don't discontinue.
I mean, hey, if it'll work, I will take it. I'll take it because I want it to be big. I want it to be big stuff. So, but
Chris, I dropped you a link in our chat.
I mean, I'm always open to trying new stuff. I just.
This stuff, you know, has become my favorite protein powder. Mm. It actually tastes like there's no like artificial, like it doesn't taste like artificial.
Okay, I got you.
So what is your recommendation?
It's called Legion. I think I've made it a handle before. But they have, it looks to be a metric shit ton of flavors, with apple pie, banana bread, birthday cake, chocolate, cinnamon cereals, chocolate peanut butter, fruity cereal, chocolate cereal, mocha cappuccino. Like they've got you name a flavor, they probably have it. It's delicious. And I think it has slightly more protein than most. I'm not sure what the optimum.
Oh, so then you're just saving money, Chris.
And it's really.
I mean, it looks good. It looks good. I'm always willing to try something different. But
and it is grass-fed whey, unlike I think most protein powders are not. So if you care about that stuff, not sure if you do.
I do not. I don't. I personally don't.
But I will have to try this. You'll have to, you know what? In fact, bring me some when you come to Connecticut.
Oh, it'll probably be gone by then. I go through, that's the one thing about working out is it's fucking expensive.
When do you drink your protein powder? Before or after?
After. Or just in the morning if I don't work out that day.
I'm usually pretty bad at drinking my protein.
Now I'll be getting the cinnamon roll.
All right. So, Ted, what do you got for us this week?
Yeah, so I got a TV show for everybody. You know, obviously we have a lot of video game handles here on this podcast, but you know, we also have a lot of TV shows, so it's a nice unique mix when you can mix video games and TV shows all in one. And I'm recommending the Fallout TV show, which is on Amazon Prime. If you're a Prime subscriber, obviously it's free to watch. But it basically, they're taking the Bethesda game, and before that, the I think it was Black Isle Games that invented the first three Fallouts. But they're basically turning the Fallout video games into a TV show. This one happens to take place in California, with Vaults 31, 32, and 33. For anybody who's played the Fallout games, we all know that each Fallout or each Vault has their own unique story. These three have, you know, obviously their unique story, but it's pretty good. I watched all 8 episodes of the first season. I think I binged them all in a week, and I'm now going back and rewatching them again. It's, you know, I don't usually do that with television shows. Usually I watch the season and I'm one and done. But this is worth going back and rewatching. It's great. There's tons of little throwbacks to the games if you played the games before. If you haven't played the games, no need to worry. It's still a great post-apocalyptic world show that's really well done. Even if, like, you're somebody like my wife who's never played the Fallout games before, she still finds it very entertaining as well. You don't need to have played the video games to understand the story. It's an awesome TV show. It's after the first season, it's been a long time since I felt this way about a TV show. This is on par with, like, The Boys from Amazon or, like, the original first season of Game of Thrones. This is right up there to me with it's a very well done TV series.
Well, it's funny you mention those two shows because I did feel like it is a gory show.
Yes.
Just like those other two shows that you mentioned. So
I did not mean that.
Yeah. But it's something to be aware of if you're someone who's into that or not into that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like overly, I mean, there is some gore, but it's not overly gory, but sometimes it's needlessly gory, but it's also,
which is like what happens in the video game. You've played Fallout, it's like there's bodies exploding. The last episode I just watched, someone used a mechanized hand to crush someone's skull and their brains go splattering everywhere. So yeah,
usually it's done with most of the time it's done with a little bit of comic relief. Like even the crushing of the head was, and this sounds shocking, kind of funny. It's worth watching. They're quick hour shows. Chris, this is something that I think you should watch for sure. Might be the newest thing you've watched in years, but I would check it out if I were you. You'd be entertained.
Yeah, we haven't gotten around to watching it, but I've heard nothing but great things about it. So
with that, we'd like to thank you for listening. I will thank Oliphant Brewing for their super squishy blackberry raspberry coconut sour.
I would like to thank Fremont Weldworks and Obert for the 2424 hazy double IPA.
Oh yeah, I would like to also thank Obert for my beer for driving it across the country to me.
Yeah, don't look up the carbon footprint of that beer. It's not low. I'm going to thank Abbey ND de Saint Remy for their Trappist Rochefort.
And
myself for buying it.
Please make sure you head over to social media and follow us everywhere at DAWF Podcast. Also, make sure you hashtag follow the email at DAWFpodcast@gmail.com. As I mentioned before, for as little as $1 a month, you can go join Patreon and help support the podcast monetarily. You also get extra episodes of our pregame show where I drink a drink this week. So if you want to see what that was, go over to Patreon. Like I said, $1 a month helps the podcast out, gets us to do cool things like go to Asheville, which we did a couple years ago. Would love to go to another beer city, so every dollar helps. You know, also head over to Discord, join the live conversation over there. That's free. Click the link in the show notes. Head over to your favorite podcast app, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. The 5-star ratings and reviews do help other people find this podcast. Even if you've rated us before, do it again. Always helps. The more reviews, the better. And finally, if you don't want to do any of that, just tell other people. While you're sitting at a brewery or a bar and they're talking about podcasts, and just bring it up. Just be like, hey, I got a podcast for you guys. Check this podcast out.
Did you know the difference between Belgian quads and barley wines? Because I don't. I think they're the same.
They may, in fact, be the same. We'll have to do a malt minute and figure this out. And so with that, thank you for listening. My name's Dud.
My name's Chris.
And I'm Obert. And remember, if you're drinking alone, do it with friends. Arriba!
Arriba!
Good Cinco de Mayo exclamation,
was,
I gotta say.
Yeah, that was well done.
It's almost like I
for one, am excited for all your Mexican lagers.
Yes. You guys
am excited.
You guys are going to have to remind me. Because I will forget.
Well, you should plan to go to Total Wine tomorrow after work.
I don't live that close to Total Wine.
You should go to Total Wine on your way to Raleigh.
That's, I was thinking.
Make all your kids carry all your beer through you for you through the
there
store.
See, that's how dads do.
They can play tag around the $26,000 bottles of whiskey in the display cases.